I'd like now to welcome Susan Turetsky. She's the director of the New Mexico Landlord-Tenant Hotline. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Mayor Charlotte.
So I love that you take the point of view of both landlords and tenants, so you really have a balanced perspective on both sides of the various many issues that come your way. We spoke not long ago to Sheriff Greg Solano about the burglary situation in Santa Fe, and I wanted to talk to you about what are the obligations of both the landlord and the tenant to keep a property safe so that burglaries don't happen.
Well, you know, there are 52 statutes that govern landlords and tenants in New Mexico, and these statutes are called the Uniform Owner Resident Relations Act, and it's very evenly distributed between both parties. And essentially, one of the statutes is Statute 47-8-20, and that is the obligation of the owner. And one of the subsections in that statute requires that the landlord make repairs and do whatever is necessary to put and keep the premises in a safe condition. So whatever it takes, that's what the landlord has to do by state statute.
What constitutes safety? So, for example, if somebody has a window and the window is closed with one of those cranky things and somehow they get it open or they break the window, the landlord didn't do anything wrong.
No, except that it is the obligation of the landlord to make sure that the window opens, closes, locks, shuts. It has to be a safe environment. There are some communities that require the landlord to change the keys between tenants. There is no law in place here in Santa Fe that addresses that. However, I think it's very prudent for a landlord to throw away the keys between tenants and rekey the locks. Just the tumbler on the inside. I mean, you don't have to take off the whole mechanism, okay? Some landlords will charge the incoming tenant a non-refundable rekey fee, okay? And, I think that's fine. A landlord and a tenant, by the way, can make any agreement between the parties as long as it doesn't violate any state, local, or federal law.
What about the situation of a dog door? Somebody wiggles in the dog door. Is that the landlord's responsibility?
Well, you know, the landlord isn't responsible for crime in the city, okay? So if somebody wiggles in that dog door, we're going to look at it and we're going to say, is it faulty? Did the landlord know that it was faulty? You know, is there any, can you nail down some gross negligence on the part of the landlord? Other than that, I mean, that robber could have come in through a window. He could have come in through the door. You know, the landlord's not responsible for crime in the city. Once that happens, then it would seem that the landlord would be responsible to do something to ensure the safety of that tenant.
What kinds of negligence have you seen on the part of landlords?
Well, in terms of repairs to keep the property safe, you know, there are tenants who say that the locks on the doors, the exterior doors don't work, the windows don't open and shut. The fireplace flues have never been cleaned out and are corroded, causing a backdraft of smoke into the property. I mean, there's a lot of incidents where the landlord, really between tenants, has an opportunity to go through the house, make sure that everything is in good, safe working order. The law requires that the landlord maintain the following in good, safe working order: electrical, heating, plumbing, ventilating, air conditioning if it's there, the sanitary lines, and any appliances they supply their tenant with. The law states that the landlord must provide the tenant with running water at all times, reasonable amounts of heat and hot water at all times. And then there are some other little requirements that are under the law, but essentially those are the main ones.
Is there anything else that the public should know in terms of safety where the landlord-tenant relationship is concerned?
Well, you know, the landlord in a multi-unit, there are limited common areas and there are common areas. Limited common areas are, you know, porches, areas that are held out for the tenant's exclusive use. Common areas are used by a lot of different tenants. And in apartment,
so the courtyard of a
compound.
Exactly.
The law states that the owner of that multi-unit must keep the common areas safe. So what does that mean? Probably means that the bushes have to be trimmed down so nobody's lurking behind those bushes. It means that the area should be well lit. You have to really think in terms, when you're a good, effective, careful, prudent landlord, you want to keep your tenants safe.
There's also the issue in the other way around. The tenant needs to really lock the doors and lock the windows, because not only can their own property be stolen, but the landlord's property can be stolen or damaged.
That's right. And there is another law, statute 47-8-22, and that's the obligation.
I can't believe you know these numbers.
I dream about these statutes. That's the obligation of the resident. Okay, yes, use everything reasonably. Keep everything clean. Get rid of their trash. Don't destroy or negligently destroy anything or damage anything. You know, it's as I said, it runs back and forth, and it's very easily distributed. The tenant has to take care of that property. That's really what the landlord wants, too. The landlord is looking for a tenant who will pay the rent on time and take good care of the property, okay? There's a tremendous financial investment involved, and you want to maintain the property.
Let's talk about some other important issues. Let's say the tenant doesn't pay the rent, and I imagine you're seeing quite a bit more of that in this economic recession.
Oh, boy, I'm seeing a lot of that. You know, people are having a hard time. They're being laid off. They're being let go. These are difficult times, and clearly it isn't as difficult here in Santa Fe as it is in other cities in the country. Nevertheless, we are getting a lot of calls about unpaid rent, okay? Now, the law... Should I give you that statute number?
No, that's okay.
The law says it's underpayment of rent, and it says that rent is due without demand, without notice, at the time and place agreed upon by the parties, okay? The law says that the landlord is supposed to give the tenant a written contract. That written contract will say how much the rent is and what day it's due, so everybody knows that it's maybe $700 a month, and it's due on the 1st, okay? If the landlord doesn't have the rent in his hands on the 1st, on the 2nd, that rent is delinquent. That landlord can throw a 3-day notice of non-payment of rent in the mail with a 44-cent stamp. He doesn't have to knock himself out going crazy serving this 3-day notice of non-payment of rent, because the law says rent's due without demand, without notice, at the time and place agreed upon by the parties. So the tenant then has 72 hours to pay in full or leave. Now, if the tenant doesn't pay and the tenant doesn't leave, then the only next step for the landlord is to file in court for an eviction for non-payment of rent. It's illegal for the landlord to lock the tenant out of the property, change the locks, block his access, cut off his utilities, do anything like that without a court order.
So once you get a court order, are those easy to get? Does it take a long time? How long does this process take?
It takes approximately a month to get through the court order, the eviction procedure.
That's so basically why, the person has a month of free rent if they don't ever intend to pay.
Right. That's why it's very good if the landlord can get a deposit equal to 1 month's rent. And if the rental market is good, possibly require last month's prepaid rent. If it's good. Sometimes, you know, rental market is really a very good indicator of supply and demand. I mean, it depends on how good it is.
Right.
What you can collect.
What are you seeing? I mean, what's coming across your desk, into your inbox, into your voicemail? A lot of complaints from both sides?
Well, recently, the Sheriff's Department sent over a tenant who was locked out of her property. She didn't pay the rent. She's behind a month and a half. The landlord locked her out of the property, told her that she wouldn't give her any of her stuff back, and that if she didn't pay the rent within a couple of days, the landlord was going to sell everything or throw it in the garbage. So the tenant came into the landlord-tenant hotline, and we called the Sheriff's Department and requested a civil standby. And all that means is that the Sheriff's Department will drive out there, sit in front of the house, and make sure that nobody misinterprets this as a breaking and entering, a B&E, okay? The tenant is entitled to access to that home. That is the tenant's home. This tenant was missing her medication, her clothing. She was missing work. It was horrendous. Anyway, I did call the landlord and talk to her. and informed her that she should open the doors because the tenant can sue the landlord for 2 times the monthly rent, plus court costs, serving fees, and any other losses she incurred as a result of this illegal lockout. It was that happens periodically by uninformed landlords. They don't know, and I understand that they get very frustrated. They want their rent. They have a mortgage payment, but you cannot take the law into your own hands.
So what happened in that case?
Well, she did get back in. The sheriff, actually, the window was left open in the back, and the sheriff said to her, just go through that window and get your stuff out of there. And that was, she was so grateful. I mean, she got her medication. She had contact lenses on that she didn't have the solution to. I mean, it was unbelievable. But anyway, I have workshops every couple of months for landlords and property managers, and we go over every single statute and every single law. And they can call the hotline and reserve a space for the workshops.
Let's say everything goes well, and the tenant says, "Well, I'm leaving now. I'm moving to a new place. Give me back my security." I cleans the place. It's all nice. Give me back your security. Give me back my security deposit.
Okay. The landlord's holding a security deposit. The tenant leaves, and I'm assuming that it's the end of the contract. It's timely. The tenant cleans everything up, hands the key in timely. Everything is good, and wants their security deposit back. Well, the law gives the landlord 30 days from the termination of tenancy or when the tenant moves out, whichever is last. The law gives the landlord 30 days to mail the tenant an itemized statement. From the security deposit, the landlord can take 4 things. Number one, any unpaid rent. Number two, any damage and related losses. Number three, any cleaning beyond normal wear and tear. And number four, any unpaid utilities if that's in the rental agreement, if that was in the agreement between the parties. If the landlord fails to deliver this 30-day notice within 30 days from the termination of tenancy, the security deposit, The landlord forfeits every defense they have under the deposit law. They can't keep one penny of that tenant's money for any reason whatsoever. They're dead in the water, okay? If the tenant doesn't hear from the landlord, the tenant should call the landlord-tenant hotline. I have a demand for deposit letter that says, I want my full refund back or I'm going to court. If they have to take the landlord to court, the landlord, under the circumstances we defined or described, the landlord loses in court, okay?
Just automatically.
Yeah, because he passed his 30 days, okay? The tenant will ask the court for a full refund of his full deposit, court costs, serving fees. If he hires an attorney, he can ask for reasonable attorney fees. He can also ask for an additional $250 civil penalty if he can convince the judge that landlord held his money in bad faith.
I would imagine that in a poor state, during a recession, cases go to court and either one person or the other just doesn't have the money. What happens then?
You mean to file in court?
No, to pay what they owe.
Oh, that's a very good question. The court will make a decision, okay? And that's as far as the court goes. They don't help you collect your money. So you have to wait. Let's take the example of the tenant we just talked about, okay? And let's say maybe he's entitled to $1,000 plus court costs plus serving fees plus the judge did award him the $250 penalty. So let's say that he's got a judgment about $1,500, okay? And the landlord doesn't pay because the landlord doesn't have it.
Because they spent the security deposit.
Right. That's right. So the tenant has to wait for an appeal period to pass. And then, after that appeal period passes, the tenant can go back to the court and get a writ of garnishment if the landlord works for a living. Under a writ of garnishment, that employer is obligated to garnish 25% of the wages until that debt is satisfied. Or the tenant can seek a writ of execution. Now, when I first heard of a writ of execution, I got real excited.
You're going to die.
Yeah. I thought, wow, you can kill them, but you can't, right? A writ of execution is where the sheriff's department seizes personal property to satisfy the debt.
Right.
But there are all kinds of, that's a very long, drawn-out process. You can't give up your television set, and I can't give up my couch because I sit on my couch to watch my television. It goes back and forth.
Right.
Until finally the judge says, you're going to give up your widescreen TV.
Right. Okay? And do you see that happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Sheriff's Department seizes a personal property, and they sell it at sheriff's sales, and then they write the party a check and satisfy the debt. And then you have to submit a paper back to the court saying that the judgment has been satisfied and the case is closed.
When can we go to these sheriff's
sales? Right, that's right. We got to find out. Call Sheriff Solano and find out when those sales are.
We're talking to Susan Turetsky of the Landlord-Tenant Hotline. Let's say you're on a month-to-month rental agreement and you get a job in Denver and you want to leave and the job starts next week.
Wonderful. Congratulations. You're working. That's great. However, you have an obligation to your landlord, okay? I'll throw another statute out on you. 47-8-37B, like in boy. Either party can terminate a month-to-month rental agreement at will. No reason is required. You're only buying and selling a month at a time, okay? That's all you're guaranteeing each other. But it's from rental period to rental period. It's from the rental period is the date that your rent's due. So let's say it's you, Mary Charlotte. You get a job in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs there.
Right. Maybe I better move it to another city. Let's go to Chicago. You get a job, okay? And your rent's due on the 1st here, okay? And today is the 25th, let's say, okay? Well, you have to give your landlord written notice that you're leaving. You have to give him the rest of the month that you're in that's already been bought and sold between you, the entire next month, and you surrender the property by midnight the following month, okay? So it's a continuation of the month that's already been bought and sold and an entire next month. You got to pay the rent. There's no free day for the tenant.
So if it's July 27th mm-hmm. and I'm moving in a week, mm-hmm. I have to pay August rent, but not September.
That's right. That's right. You have to provide written notice before the end of July for the end of August. You pay August rent. You can leave whenever you want to. Goodbye and good luck. But you're obligated financially to the landlord until August 31st, unless that landlord finds another tenant in there before the end of August.
Let's say they find another tenant and they put a thing on Craigslist. Somebody comes and sees it on August 2nd.
Right.
And somebody and they take it,
right?
Can the landlord collect double rent?
Absolutely not. The landlord owes the first tenant. Now, let's say that new tenant from Craigslist moves in August 5th, okay? And they sign a lease and they move in August 5th. The first tenant only pays through August 4th. The termination date of the rental agreement is August 5th. The clock starts ticking for the security deposit law, and the landlord must mail that first tenant a security deposit settlement letter not later than 30 days after August 5th in order to comply with the deposit statute, which, by the way, is statute 47-8-18.
This is radio, Susan. Nobody's going to write this stuff down.
Are you people out there with pencil and paper?
Well, it's a good thing you know this and a good thing you're telling us, because almost nobody actually knows this. And you and I do a show every couple of years,
right?
And I think it's very important to talk
it's very
about
important.
And the fact is that there are good landlords and bad landlords, and there are good tenants and bad tenants, and you see the whole gamut. What's the most common problem that comes across your desk?
Well, it's exactly what we've discussed. It's a return of my deposit. How do I get my deposit back? How do I get my landlord to fix the leaky pipes? On the other hand, it's a breach of agreement by the tenant who leaves early, doesn't even last for the entire contract, or doesn't take care of the property, does some damage to the property. What do they do? How do they get them out? You know, that's what it is. How do I get my landlord to fix things? How do I get my tenant to take care of the property? How do I get my tenant to pay the rent? How do I get my deposit back? I mean, it flips back and forth and back and forth. And you know, I've always felt, when I was a kid, my favorite game was Monopoly. And I've always felt that I'm just playing a huge game of Monopoly. And these are the 52 statutes are the board game rules. And if everybody knew what the board game rules were, this would go much smoother. Everybody, it's easy to follow the rules if you know what they are. So that's why we have these workshops for realtors, property managers, even for licensed realtors. I do teach a seminar for licensed realtors and property managers for 5 continuing credit hours.
If people want to get in touch with you and find out more information, how can they do so?
They can call me at the New Mexico Landlord Tenant Hotline, area code 505-983-8447.
Do you have a website?
I don't have a website.
So they can just give you a call, and they can also pick up a copy of the Renter's Guide.
That's right. And we also have complete kits that we sell for landlords at the hotline that contain leases, applications, all the appropriate forms, notices, move-out letters, security deposits, settlement letter. It's got everything in it, advice for the tenant to get their own insurance. And those packets are $60. And if I have to mail them, it costs $5 to mail them. So it's $60 plus $5.
Susan Turetsky is the director of the New Mexico Landlord Tenant Hotline. Once again, the number is 505-983-8447. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure.